I think from all that we've heard already this morning and in our prayers, we're just very aware that we live in difficult days and we live in uncertain days. So much political uncertainty. I know if you go back a couple of years, the things that would have been on our mind would be Brexit and Trump. But yet today, this morning, it's war and Putin. And no doubt in a few years' time, it'll be something else and someone else. We live in days of economic uncertainty. We always live in days of economic uncertainty, but just with all that's happening and we see prices rising and think, what's going to happen? And we can't predict where things will go. And we live in days of personal uncertainty as well. And I'm sure many of us here, just with different experiences in our lives and maybe the things that we have been through or maybe the things that we find ourselves going through at the moment in so many areas. How do you keep going with all these things going on? Twice in this chapter, which Chris read for us, I don't know if you noticed it, but twice in the chapter, Paul says, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. But I suspect that we do, and we fear that we might, and it's not easy. There's things that we know about, which maybe we have concerns over and can cause us to be losing heart. And there's things that take us by surprise, which make us lose heart too. But yet Paul is able to say, we do not lose heart. Things weren't easy for him. Did you notice it there in the passage, in verses 8 and 9? Paul says he's hard pressed on every side. And maybe you feel a measure of that, hard pressed on every side, at work, in your family, whatever it is. Paul says we're perplexed. What a great word that is, isn't it? Perplexed, at wit's end. At a loss, just not knowing what to do. Paul says that we're persecuted. And that's true for so many Christians around the world facing persecution. And let alone others as well. Paul says we're struck down. We're on the floor and we feel like we can't get up. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. But Paul is able to say, we're hard pressed, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. He says, we do not lose heart. And what I want us to do together this morning is thinking about why he could say it, and we can say it, that we do not lose heart. Think about why we can say it, and then think about how we can make sure that we do say it, and we are saying it, and we are experiencing it. So firstly, why can we say this morning that we do not lose heart? We do not lose heart. I think we can summarise it in the verse earlier in the chapter when Paul says in this, verse 9, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And the reason we can say this morning we do not lose heart is because the light has shone in our hearts. The light has shone in our hearts. And as we read through the scriptures, we read of this light that has shone in our hearts. Jesus, the one who is the light of the world. We read about him, we sing about him, we hear about him. Jesus, the light of the world. But can I ask you this morning, do you trust this light of the world? Are you trusting him and looking to him? Because it's him and him alone, Jesus alone, who can keep us from losing heart. We can't do it ourselves. It's not because of our ability or our strength. But it's only in Jesus that we can say we do not lose heart. No one else can do that for us, what Jesus does. The politicians can't. Whatever happens in the coming days with the politicians of Ukraine and Russia, or whatever Boris Johnson said, the politicians cannot keep us from losing heart. Others can help, maybe, in the decisions that they make and the things that happen. Our family and friends can't. Yes, there's a measure of help in those things. But if we just trust in those things and just trust in our friends and just trust in our families, we will find that we will still lose heart. No one else can do it, and nothing else can do it. Good health can't do it. And I'm thankful that I enjoy good health and I like to exercise and get out and I love doing that. But that alone will not keep me from losing heart. A nice home won't do it. And I enjoy a nice home. And my daughter's been doing some work on her house all the way through COVID. It seemed to go on forever and it seemed to be such a mess, more like a building site. But it's all done and it's a nice home. But it won't keep her from losing heart. A healthy bank balance won't keep you from losing heart. It helps and it's good, but it won't keep us from losing heart. Only Jesus can do that this morning and do that for us. And then what is the effect of this light on our hearts? Let light shine out of darkness. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The warmth of the sun, S-U-N, is a wonderful thing. I don't know if you got outside yesterday, but my wife and I went round to Hannah's house and we sat in a garden and sat in the sun. Actually caught the sun slightly. It was a lovely feeling. The sun, S-U-N, brings warmth and health with all the vitamin D and all those things. But if you're not careful, you get sunburn. But the sun, S-O-N, brings far more. Brings forgiveness. Brings peace, brings joy, and brings hope. Why can we say that we do not lose heart? The answer is because of Jesus, because the light has shone in our hearts. But how can we this morning make sure that we do not lose heart and that we can say this? It's all to do with getting our values right and our priorities right. And here in this passage, and particularly in verses 16 through to 18, we read of three values that we must have and that we should have if we're not going to lose heart. So how can you make sure that you don't lose heart this morning? Well, here they are. Firstly, you will not lose heart when you value spiritual strength above physical strength. When you value spiritual strength above physical strength. Physical strength. Verse 16, look at what it says. Therefore we do not lose heart. I repeated what it says in verse 1 about losing heart. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly we are wasting away. Now, as I say, I like to keep fit. I like to get exercise and I feel good on it, but I'm fighting a losing battle because outwardly we are all wasting away. We know it. Very often we feel it. Sometimes when we look in the mirror, we see it. But we are wasting away. The likelihood is not all of us will be here next year in a year's time. Verse 7 speaks about us being jars of clay. And don't think nice fired Ming vase when it says jars of clay, but an earthen vessel, a brittle jar of clay. Let me suggest four reasons why we are outwardly wasting away. First of all, aging. We're all doing that. We're all 2 weeks older than when I was here 2 weeks ago. Some seem to do it faster. Some seem to show it more. Some of us try and hide it. Some of us try and deny it, but it's true. So aging and illness, and very aware of that as we prayed for Stan this morning, just with his ongoing struggles and other people that we know of and maybe you're experiencing yourself. Wasting away with aging, with illness. We can be wasting away in service as well. When you look at what Paul did physically as he served God, it had its effect on him. It took its toll on him. But it's better to wear out than to rust out. Even our service in our lives and our service for the Lord can take its toil on us. And then fourthly, persecution. There's many in our world this morning facing persecution simply because they are God's people, because they declare the name of Christ. Outwardly, we are wasting away, but yet inwardly, Paul writes, we are being renewed day by day. We need to value the spiritual above the physical. We need to value that inward above the outward. What is this inward part? It's the heart. And I don't just mean the bit of flesh inside us which pumps away so many times through our life. It's the soul, the real part of us, the part of us that will live forever. The place where the light has shone. The place which has been changed by Jesus. The place where, as it were, Jesus dwells. The part of us which has been changed by the Holy Spirit. And the part which continues to be changed by God's Spirit. The part of us described as the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writing to the church there says, if anyone is in Christ, trusting in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's the part of us which is the new creation. It is the part of us which is the new self. Not the old self, but the new self. That's the word that Paul uses in Ephesians 4. It's the inner being which is strengthened by the Spirit of God. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? It's that inner part of us that wants to delight in God's law. That inward part of us, the part which is the new creation, changed by Christ. And the part which can be renewed, though the outward is decaying, that inward part that can be renewed day by day. It's a bit that only God can reach. Going out for a bike ride won't reach that part. Eating a healthy diet doesn't reach that part. It's the part that God can reach by his light. Let me ask you, which do you value more, the physical or the spiritual? The physical or the spiritual? I remember not that long ago at Hollywell Church, we bought a lot of copies of the Warren Wiersbe book, Abide. I don't know if you know it, it's a great little book, I'd recommend it. And what was encouraging is we bought a whole lot of them, but they all sold out very quickly. And actually, it just seemed to say to me that yes, we do value the physical and the outward, but actually we do realise there's a need to look after and nurture the inward part, and we need to abide in Christ. Both are important, looking after our physical body as well as our spiritual part of us, but one should be of higher value than the other. Yes, look after the physical, but look after the spiritual as well. And how do we do that? By walking with God, by meeting with him, by reading his word, by spending time in prayer, by just meditating upon him and feeding upon Christ, as it were. I think sometimes, you know, in our churches, and we rightly so emphasize meeting together and the Sunday morning and the Bible study. But I do wonder if we overemphasize that at the expense of just emphasizing our personal walk with God. Are you walking with God? Are you seeking him daily? Are you reading his word? Are you calling out to him to work in you? So, we will not lose heart when we value spiritual strength above physical strength. And then secondly, Paul writes again, and we can say, you will not lose heart when you value the future over the present. When you value the future over the present. Look at verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You see, it's about perspective. It's getting our perspective right on what is important. We have a WhatsApp group in our street, and people put all sorts of messages on there and so on. And somebody put one on the other day. They're having some building work done. I've got 4 metre lengths of decking. Does anyone want it? And I thought, yes, garden project coming up, here it comes. And so I put, yes, yeah, I'll have that. And they said, well, come and get it any time. So I drove down there in my car, which is less than 4 metre long, and put these 8 bits of wood, which were more than 4 metres long, inside it somehow. But I only had to drive in a straight line. But I went down there, and they're just at the end of building work. And I don't know if you've ever had building work done, but it can be pretty chaotic, and there were signs of that chaos in the drive. And this lady, Georgina, was telling me about the, you know, they'd just put the new floor down and the plumber put the washing machine in but forgot to connect the hose. 3 days later, flood on the floor, all had to come out. And maybe you've experienced that chaos of extending. But actually, once it's finished and once it's done, enjoying the benefit of that, getting things in perspective. When a woman is pregnant and expecting a child, there's many challenges along the way, but there's a joy. And when the child is born and the children grow, it's forgotten. Getting perspective right. Have you got the right perspective on life this morning? You see, we will not lose heart when we value the future above the present. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We hear about troubles. We experience troubles. But look at what it says. Firstly, they're momentary. Momentary. Might not seem like that. It just seemed to go on, but if we look at them alongside everlasting glory, they are momentary. Troubles are for the here and now, not for the then and there. That doesn't mean we don't depend that they're real, because they are, and many of you will have experienced that or are experienced in that, and I have too. But do remember that they are momentary compared with eternity. And do remember and recall the everlasting glory which is to come. Get your focus right. Not on the here and now, but on that which is to come. They are momentary, and then they are light. They might not seem light, they seem heavy. But they are light compared with the eternal glory which, as Paul says, outweighs them all. Compared with eternal glory, they are light with what is to come. And in them, keep your gaze upon Christ. Think of what is to come and that hope that we have. And remember some of the things that Jesus said, because he spoke into a broken world. These are realities that we face. But Jesus said, in 2 Corinthians, later on in it, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And when we need it, he gives the grace. And I think we need to understand that doesn't mean he stacks us all up with reserves of grace there, so that when and we just enjoy all of that, so when the trouble comes, then we can just pick it out, as it were. He gives the grace in the time of need. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for every need. Another time, Matthew 11, Jesus says this. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. He doesn't say I'll take away all those things, but he says, come to me and I will give you rest. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says he sympathizes with our weaknesses. He has sympathy. He understands. He feels. Life is tough and troubles are real, but God is good and his eternal glory outweighs them all. Do you have a right perspective on life? Do you value the future over the present? That's how we get to not lose heart and keep going. So these troubles, they're momentary, they are light, and actually, quite remarkably, what it says, they're working for us, not against us. Look at what it says. These troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. They are achieving something, they are doing something. Now, we must not make God the author of evil and all these things. All that we see going on and all that we experience is a consequence of living in a broken world, a consequence of our rebellion against God. But one of the remarkable things is that God is able to take the devil's worst and turn it into good for us. That's a remarkable thing. And these troubles that we experience actually can help us to grow stronger, and take us on towards that day, that future glory. God uses the outward, the physical, and the circumstances to change the inward, the spiritual. Romans 8, verse 28, famous verse, probably many of us can quote. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Again, it doesn't say God is the author of those things, but he uses them and works through them for good. Doesn't always feel like that, but that's what the scripture says. And that certainly has been my experience, is that actually very often in the harder times, as we've known more of God's help, there seems to have been a richer blessing in that. And something in that. Difficulties are connected to growth, and trials are connected to maturity. So as we live in these difficult days, let's remember that. Let's keep our perspective right. Let's keep our focus on that which is to come, because these troubles are momentary compared with eternity. They're light compared with the eternal glory which outweighs them all, and God is able to work through them to make you grow in Christ. We need to yield to God. We need to turn to his word. We need to trust him to work in all these things. So, firstly, do you value the future? When we value the future over the present, then we will not lose heart. But I can guarantee you that if you value the present over the future, that you will lose heart. So firstly, we won't lose heart when we value spiritual strength above physical strength. Secondly, when we value the future over the present. But then thirdly, Paul says in the next verse, and we can say, you will not lose heart when you value the unseen over that which is seen. We could say, well, when you value what is eternal over what is temporary. Look at verse 18. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is reality? There's been an explosion in virtual reality recently. And you've probably heard about the metaverse. Facebook call themselves Meta, and now creating this metaverse, this shared virtual world in which you can live. I just saw a headline earlier today about people selling virtual beer in a virtual metaverse. I said, really? I suppose the one good thing about it is it's got no alcoholic content, but I'm not sure what other good there is in that. But people are living in this virtual world. That's not reality. Do you remember reality TV, where you're looking on people living their lives in certain ways? The one thing that we can be certain of is it's not the real world. What is reality? What is the real world? Well, let me suggest to you, I think it was Tozer who said that the Bible world is the real world. If you want to know about reality, look at the scriptures. Read God's word, because that speaks about the things that are real and the things that are lasting. It speaks of God, the one who's created all things. It speaks of Jesus, his son. It speaks of the Holy Spirit, so that Trinity there before the foundation of the world. But it speaks of our eternal value as well, and our soul. What about this world that we see around us and that, yes, we live in? It seems real, and in some senses it is real, but the Bible says it's only temporary. It's not going to last. It had a beginning and it has an end. Don't be fooled by what it has to offer. Listen to what John writes in his letter, 1 John 2. He says this. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, and that's a very much a summary of what the world is like, it comes not from the Father, but from the world. And then he writes this, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The world and its desires will pass away. God wants us to see this world in the way he sees it, in the way the Bible speaks of it. He wants to see it as a broken world. He wants to see it as a temporary world. Yes, we need to live in it. We need to do that. But we need to look at what is unseen and realize that this seen is just temporary. Hebrews chapter 11, great chapter of men and women of faith. But people who saw the invisible and valued it. They saw the invisible and valued it. Faith, the substance of things hoped for or anticipated, but the evidence of things not seen. It's the unseen. And those many people, those great men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, who saw the unseen, who saw the invisible. Remember Abraham? It says of him, look forward to a city with foundations. Looking forward to the New Jerusalem. Moses, it said of him, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. One sure way of losing heart this morning is to value the seen and what we see above the unseen. But let's make sure we're those who are taken up with the invisible, not what is visible. Make sure we're those who are living our lives for that which will, for what will not perish, but not that which will perish. So often we do that. We need to be those who, like those men and women of Hebrews chapter 11, who live our lives by faith, trusting God, looking and valuing what is unseen over what is seen. We've never seen Jesus. We can't see heaven, but we know that Jesus is real because God's word tells us so. His word tells us. I was thinking that as I was driving over this morning, just thinking about it. We haven't seen Jesus, yet we love him. We know him. We come to him. We're forgiven by him. We enjoy his peace. We have that sense of his presence with us. We know that work of his in our lives. Let's, with God's help, be those who live our lives by faith, spending time with him day by day and just seeking after him. Spending time with his people, as we do today, and many other opportunities we have to encourage one another and build one another up and point one another to Jesus. Spending time with him, spending time with his people, spending time serving him and proclaiming him to a lost and needy world. Making sure our lives are governed by the eternal values and not by temporal ones. Are you losing heart? Paul says, he says this, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. And we can be those this morning who do not lose heart. Yes, when we value the spiritual above the physical, when we live for the present, not for the future, when we look for the invisible, not that which is visible. And as we get these attitudes of our heart right, if we seek after Christ, as we enjoy him, life will still be tough, but we will know God with us, and we will know his blessing and his grace, which is sufficient for every need that we have. May God help each one of us in our today and in the coming days ahead to be those who do not lose heart.